Welcome to Beauty and the Brain with your hosts, Dr. Chris Crowley and nurse practitioner Jerry Drinkard. Get ready to dive into the latest in revolutionary treatments, cutting-edge devices, and wellness secrets. Whether you're a consumer or provider, we're here to empower you at the forefront of beauty and aesthetics.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Beauty and the Brain, the podcast where we discuss all things aesthetics. I'm your co-host, Dr. Chris Crowley.
And I'm Jerry Drinkard, family nurse practitioner. And together, Chris and I own Skin and Tonic, med spa that's located here in Pace, Florida. And today, we're not even going to say who we're joining.
We have another co-host, Alice. You're just a co-host now.
Alice with us.
We're going to make her mandatory for all the episodes.
But we're going to be talking about us.
Our favorite topic.
I do think people like to hear about us, right? And so you guys have seen some of our before and afters from the clinic, but you probably haven't seen pictures of us as a kid, as an awkward teen. And so we're actually going to share some of those photos today. It's going to be exciting. We're going to like talk about some things, share some things maybe from our childhood, show some photos, and then talk about our glow ups and what all we've had done and why we've had it done. What's the motivation behind it?
I love that we think we've glown up.
That's the era. So good word. Now.
God knows, wait for the comments
I
to come.
Say, somebody's
wait for the comments to come on this. I'll break us down real quick.
Yeah, somebody's going to be a smart ass. They're like, I don't know what you think.
Yeah, they're going to break us down real quick, believe me. Allie, let's start with you. What were you like as a kid?
Well, I was an only child for 8.5 years.
Spoiled.
Spoiled. definitely. Was the oldest grandchild as well. Both of my grandparents lived where we lived. So I was like everybody's number one, I think. Still am. And my grandfather will actually tell you that to this day, that I'm the favorite grandchild and he doesn't care. But yeah, I think spoiled, very busy. Like my parents had me involved. Like I took piano lessons. I was in choir, accompanied the choir with piano, did dance, ballet, tap, jazz baton, gymnastics. I mean, I was in everything from the minute my mom said when I was 2 years old, she called the dance instructor in Bruton and she was like, can I go ahead and enroll Allie? And she said, well, she potty trained. Like, that's my one requirement. We don't have anybody in her age group right now, but she has to be potty trained. And she was like, yeah, she's potty trained. She's like, well, I guess I'll take her. And so I think I was a very busy child, high expectations though. And I think that contributes to like how I have performed pretty well, like scholarly.
So did you have any kind of funny beauty quirks as a kid? Any funny things you were kind of addicted to or would sneak around? Your mom would be like, why are you doing this again?
I don't know. I don't really think so. I think I got to feel dressed up enough because of all of the stuff I was involved in that my mom was constantly like doing my hair for me, doing like little bits. I liked blush a lot. I remember that and I still do. I really like blush. But I think I got made up enough for all of the things that I was involved in that I really didn't care. I was very tender-headed and it was, you know, the typical like mom and daughter in the bathroom and she's like, you're fine. And I'm like, that hurts. And that was half of my childhood, I feel like.
What about you, Jerry? How were you like as a kid?
I was a bad kid, and I probably needed to be medicated. It was long before medication came out, and so I was very busy, as Allie says, but my busyness wasn't involved in things like that because we were a horse show rodeo family, so every weekend we were either showing a horse somewhere or my dad was riding in a rodeo somewhere. And then as I got a little older, I would participate and rode the rodeos and always. I think I fell off my first horse when I was 3. My dad had me like in the show pen by myself. So that's kind of how my childhood started. And then as I grew up, I was involved in band. I was a nerd, involved in band. I played baseball.
What instrument did you play?
Played the trumpet.
Me too.
Did you?
I did.
That's not a girl instrument.
I know. I was first chair though.
I was too. But I really wasn't very good.
Did you play trumpet?
We all played trumpet.
Oh, and we both play piano.
We should all get a trumpet and play.
Oh, that's what we need to do. Get our trumpets and do you still have your trumpet?
No, I think we sold it. I still have my piano at my parents' house, not mine. But
do you still have your trumpet? I bet I have mine.
I'm sure I haven't seen it in a while, but Alexa played trumpet for a bit, and she used my trumpet. So it's still around somewhere. Did you have any funny beauty quirks?
No, they were not funny. It was bad. I was a very petite young man for a long time. When I graduated high school, I was like 5'8" and weighed 140 pounds. So I was tiny. 135 is actually what's on my first driver's license.
Like, I know you didn't put that on your driver's license now.
No, they would frown on that. They'd be like, you may have swallowed somebody that weighed 135. But I had really bad acne. And so I battled acne forever and ever and ever. And my mom and my granny, my grandmother, she was progressive enough to like get chemical pills before chemical pills were really even like a thing. I remember she took me to Montgomery and I had like a pretty aggressive feel. Then that's probably what drove me to have such interest in skincare, because I remember Jamie, my middle sister, had a line between her eyes that drove me crazy. I don't even know that I was in nursing school. Surely to God, if I had access to a scalpel, I was. But I decided to do a very aggressive dermaplaning, if you want to call it that, to erase Jamie's line between her eyes. And it was bad. Like, I scabbed her up. I got in a lot of trouble about it.
And you were in nursing school?
I can't remember if I was in or
could you had to be a child.
Oh, no. I was not a child. I was old enough to know better because I remember exactly where we were.
And she let you?
She let me, but my mom, I got in some serious trouble. But I was like at least a late teenager. I for sure hadn't graduated nursing school. But somehow there was a scalpel in our medicine cabinet that I decided to do surgery on Jamie with. So, like I said, I needed to be medicated.
or incarcerated, I'm not sure.
So when did your obsession with chapstick start?
Very young, as it will. Like, I've always had. I used to have, I was addicted to the little yellow tubs of Carmex. And I would never finish them because they would get so dirty because I was always out with the horses and things. And then I couldn't, like, once it got grungy looking, then I'd just have to throw them away and get another one. But I remember getting chapstick literally in my stockings at Christmas.
Allie, what's one thing you miss about your younger?
We didn't talk about you.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm asking the questions.
But we'll tell us.
Yeah, what were you like as a child?
I mean, mine's pretty nothing exciting as you guys had. I was busy. Very mischievous, always in trouble. Like, people don't think about that. So I made good grades in school. So I wouldn't get disciplined really for that sort of issue. They set high expectations that I always made good grades and I would be in serious trouble if I didn't. So I did that. I was like, okay, I can do that. But then I found like a lot of it. I was always doing pranks on my brother and these were like, you know, mean things. So we'd ride the go-kart and I would convince him like at a really young age, like maybe he was like 4 or something. And I would say, if we turn really fast, you can fly like Superman. And as soon as I would turn, I would like push him off the go-kart so I could ride by myself. And so then I would get in trouble and, you know, we would fight. And I was always like, just like stirring trouble, mainly with my siblings. I think that was it. I mean, that's the main thing as a kid. I didn't have any weird, I don't think, quirks. I wasn't like obsessed with anything. In my teen years, yes, with skincare, mostly because of acne. And so I had a lot of bad acne and I didn't like that look on my face. So I wasn't like obsessed with anything, but anything my mom would get me that I could try to minimize that, like cleansers and things like that. I was always putting that kind of stuff on, or the little salicylic, you know, at home dots and things.
Would you ever use Clearasil?
Yeah, love.
Like the tinted Clearasil, that stuff works actually.
Yeah, I use Clearasil. I use like the Neutrogena salicylic wash. So a lot of over-the-counter stuff. Again, we grew up in a like small rural town and definitely no access to like med spas and things like that back at that time. My mom did what she knew to, you know, do to get that under control. I did see a dermatologist at some point. I think I was on maybe some form of, I don't know if it was Retin-A or like an antibiotic. I was on some kind of prescription stuff for my face at one point in my teens. So she did try to get the care we needed, but we didn't have access like we do now. So I think that's pretty straightforward. I don't think I had any kind of weird quirks with beauty stuff. I really didn't think about it until I started breaking out with acne. Like, it didn't cross my mind. Looking at some of the photos that we all saw, and it's going to be on the YouTube, you guys can see it, and you'll see some of our, we all have like childhood, like really young photos, and then we have our awkward era, and the awkward era is in the teens. Jerry, I want to talk about yours first, because you talked about your grandmother, and I know you love your granny, both of them actually, but I can remember you telling me
She was kind of like before her time with things. And like, I remember she took me to Montgomery not the first thing she took me. I don't know why we always went to Montgomery, but we went to Montgomery for a chemical peel. And then she took me for my nose job.
Yeah, she told you really early, like, you got to get that fixed.
Yeah, I was young. And so we got my nose fixed. My nose was fixed. It was actually done the way I always remember on Martin Luther King's birthday. So that's like a big day for me every year. So
that's crazy to say that.
Anyway, that's how I always remember. And that's, I was always like self-conscious, I think, about being smaller than everybody in my class. I was younger than everybody in my class. I had acne. I had a ginormous nose. And then, as you'll see in one of these pictures that we'll put up, like, I had a very bad hairstyle. That didn't make the situation any better. And so, you know, between the hairstyle and the big nose, it really accentuated the fact that I didn't have a chin and my mouth was pretty narrow. And so my ears protruded a little bit. I didn't exude self-confidence as a teen, but I was popular.
Well, that's good. So you had a really good personality.
I had a really good personality. People liked me.
But I think you're much better looking than you give yourself credit card. We'll put the picture up and people judge for themselves. I will, like, agree that your nose was large. Like, so when your grandmother says, like, you need to get a nose job, I'm taking you as a teen to get it. That's a progressive grandmother, though.
Yeah.
My nose was big and my chin was really small.
But I'm just saying, like, most people would think that, is that bad? Are you creating X, Y, and Z? And I think any of these stigmas, and she didn't. She was just like, no, we're going to take care of this because you're really good looking. And she's like, no, let's go and get this. And you were self-conscious about it. And she took care of it. And so,
Dr. Kitchens.
Allie, what about you? And what's your cringiest teen moment, teen photo?
I used to have brown hair, and that's so shocking for everybody. I don't know.
He's always been pretty.
I just always looked like this. No, I mean, I feel like that girls don't go through an awkward teen phase like they used to. Like, we used to, like, I had an awkward teenage phase where I don't think that I looked good. Like, the makeup was horrible. It was orange. I would wear bottom dark eyeliner, which I don't think looked good. The eyeliner was too thick. But that was just, like, what everybody also did back then, too, I think. Now, I feel like, again, like, not to throw it back to social media, like, I feel like we always do, but now younger girls have access to Instagram, TikTok, all of these older girls that they look up to, and I think they know, like, I didn't know what a pretty college girl looked like or a pretty girl that was 30 looked like when I was that age. Like, I knew my parents, my grandparents, my friends. I mean, some of my friends had older siblings that I thought were pretty, but they were kind of wearing the same makeup trends that we were, I think, at the time. Or maybe the trends have just gotten better in general. But, and maybe we'll look back on this 30 years from now and be like, God, I can't believe we looked like that. But I don't think so. I think girls, young girls, to me, now look like girls did in college when I was in college. And when I was in college, like, we wouldn't wear makeup to class. We'd throw our hair up in a bun, wear an extra large t-shirt, Nike shorts, and tennis shoes. And now girls are in, like, cute tank and legging sets with, like, tinted moisturizer and mascara at minimum on, hair blown out. And I'm like, oh, thank God I went to college when I did. We had so much fun. We didn't care about all that.
I think it's interesting because when I look back at, like, cringe moments or definitely the hair, I went through awkward stages with that. It was, like, really thick and unmanageable, and I didn't quite know what to do with it. But also, I think for me, more awkward was, like, my body size. I was actually super, super skinny. And the really weird thing is now, and so one of the questions we were asked to prepare for this is, what would you tell the younger version of yourself? And I would say embrace that, embrace who you are, because now I say you can't be too skinny. right? And I would love to be that skinny again. But at the time, I remember I was like super awkward about it. So I wasn't athletic at all. I was nerdy. So as I got into my teens and early 20s, definitely much more into like, I had a job. I was like, I love my jobs. I was working at the police department, and I was just doing nerdy stuff, but not into sports at all.
He's practicing his typing skills.
Practicing my typing skills. I was working, putting things in a database of the police department. So that kind of stuff, definitely not your typical high school. And so because of that, like, I wasn't always in the in crowd. So I was in the band and I did activities, but, you know, I was doing things that probably were a little bit more feminine. And so definitely at the time, I didn't have the self-confidence to embrace that. And so I didn't look like the other guys who were playing sports. I wasn't super muscular. I didn't like the same things. So I felt a little bit isolated. Whereas now I'm fine with being isolated and I would love to be that skinny again. So it's like, I would love to have the confidence then that I have now. And I think that's the thing for the kids to learn how to embrace that. But I think it takes us years to get to that confidence. That's the reality. I think all kids go through those awkward phases. And at some point you really get okay with it and you embrace kind of who you are.
And girls have the opposite of that, because boys are like, oh, I'm so skinny. And then girls are like, oh, I'm so fat. And like, I flew some as a cheerleader in high school. I wasn't fat at all and had no reason to think that. In my head, I was like, I'm huge. And now looking back at it, I'm like, God, I would pay tons of money to look like that now, you know? And so it's just, you always think, you're hard on yourself, you know, especially during that time in life. Yeah.
Yeah, I think, well, Chris and I, we had this, I don't know when it was that we had this conversation, like within the past year, and we were talking about like, is there a hint of body dysmorphia? And I think that to some degree, and I think maybe even in this industry, we're worse than other industries, because like, I never really thought about it. And he pointed out, he's like, I think you really have some degree of body dysmorphia. And I do. I think we all do, or some type of self dysmorphia. I hate to say body dysmorphia because it may not be about that. But I think that as you age and you learn to love yourself more, it really does make life like easier, because then you just have to worry about what other people think about you, not what you think about yourself.
And so, you know, we've all kind of, I think, talked about some of our awkward moments and shared those photos, and they're definitely there on the YouTube and the Instagram channels. You guys can see all of that. But is there a time, a procedure, a self-care routine, a workout regimen, or something that you can clearly associate when things started to change, either the way you viewed yourself or your body looked drastically different? Is there a particular moment you can pin that on, or is it more of an evolution over time?
When I realized that I was better looking than what I thought was when I came out. And when, like, and maybe it was because I was the new one out, I don't know. But I went to a Halloween party and some friends had basically dressed me, because I didn't have a costume, which is really strange for knowing me and how much I love costumes. And that goes back to my dad, my family, all of us were costume crazy. But I was in Mobile and going to a Halloween party, and I didn't have anything to wear. And Jason Fowler was a friend of ours, and he and his husband dressed me. And it was like an aha moment. I'm like, I'm not fat. I'm not thin. I look like I have muscles. I was tan. And I was like, I look good.
Haven't looked like that again.
Did you do any aesthetic procedures, or that's just the moment in time you remember? Had you had things done?
I know. I'd had things done.
Yeah. So you had your nose job for sure.
Yeah. I had my nose job. I think at that point I'd probably had it tweaked. I'd had it tweaked a little bit. I'd had tocks. I'd had some filler. My hair was obviously much different because I was like, if you look at some of our pictures around 14 or so, I think you and I had that same awkward look. I mean, like, both of us didn't really know what to do with our hair. You learned faster than I did, based on the picture that they just saw. But I'd started having stuff done.
Hallie, you have an aha moment.
I don't know that I have like an aha moment. Like I remember thinking like I felt really good around the time that I was getting married because I obviously like really cared about what I looked like. And I was still young, but I was like right out of college. And I feel like in college, you kind of treat your body like crap because you're out, you know, partying, drinking, eating whatever, like just a lot. And so I think, again, I don't think people are like that anymore in college, but I think they're much more responsible. But then getting out of college, it was like I could have like a healthier routine. I had my first job. I was tan. My hair looked good. I was watching what I was eating. Like, I felt really good. And I was actually the first one of all of my friends to get married. So it just seemed like a really big deal, I think. And I put a lot of pressure on myself at that time. But I also felt really good about myself at that time. And so that was, like, a really big time. And then, I don't know, after that, moving to Florida, the first time I think I ever got Botox was when you told me that Jerry was training a doctor and that I could come up here and do Botox if I wanted to. And I was like, oh, okay. Because I'm like, God, had I known all of this? Like, I feel like I didn't even know this existed. And I was a nurse. But, like, I'd never even thought about any of this type of stuff. Like, I think I'm just so sheltered, small town Alabama, like, that I thought all of this was, like, Hollywood stuff, you know? Like, I didn't think that people were actually out here, like, getting – I can't even tell you the first time I thought about lip filler, to be honest with you. Like, I don't even remember that ever being a thought in my head. And then I came up here, did my Botox. I remember I was so scared that – I don't know if you remember this or not, but he was asking you questions about how to do a lip flip, and I was like, I don't want him doing it. Like, I was so scared, and I made you do it. And now I'm like, that was so stupid. Like, I could have easily let that guy do it. And then one day, Dr. Crowley was like, oh, you should let Jerry do your lips sometime. And I was like, oh, do I need lip filler? God, I did. It's so hard looking at pictures of myself now, I think, without a top lip at all, that I'm like, God, I could have been so cuter in college and so much prettier in my wedding photos had I just had some lip filler, but I didn't have anybody to tell me that I needed it. And I didn't even think about it. So I think it's the more you know, the more critical you get of yourself too, because you know all these improvements that you can make and what's readily available to you versus somebody who doesn't even think about the aesthetics world. They're not focused on that or what they could do to improve themselves because they don't know what's all out there. And I think that was me for a really long time.
That's why I said I think people in this industry, like, I mean, who the heck out there knows anything about the OG curve or the rule of thirds or, you know, all these things that we talk about and we think about, and you can't help but look in the mirror and, like, think about it. And so, like, when you start doing that and you think about it and you think about, like, your sun damage or your pigmentation issues or your redness or whatever. And so I do think, like, we're hyper-focused on it. And because people always ask, like, I bet you look at me and think, God, she needs so-and-so. And, you know, really, I don't. Like, I look at me and I think, God, I need so-and-so, but I'm not bad about judging other people. And I don't think you are either, are you?
No.
I mean, I think we get that question a lot. And unless it's like a huge, like, something that we think, are they here for a consult? Because we're in a different mindset. But we're out day-to-day in public. It's not like we're looking at every single face and breaking people apart. But we are very hard on ourselves. You know, for me, I don't remember a single aha moment. Early. The interesting thing is if you ask me that what I associate with, so the first time I remember that I think that I felt maybe somewhat attractive was like way into my adult life. It was when you and I met. And when I look back on photos, it's a photo we won't share, but it is of us getting out of a hot tub in Key West. And we both were in great shape. And I remember thinking that was probably the first time I remember that maybe I thought that I looked okay. And so I would have been in my early 30s at that point. And so that's what's well into, you know, adult life. And then like when I look beyond that, what I've noticed, and this has literally been within the last maybe 5 to 7 years, I get more comments on my skin in general than I ever got like growing up. So I did struggle with acne. I didn't do a lot of things. And so to me, I think that is the benefits of using multiple forms of like biostimulants. So I've done a series of chemical peels over years, then lasers, then Sculpture injections. So I think the culmination of all of those things to really try to get my body to make more collagen and elastin and take care of my skin better, I'm seeing the results of that by people commenting on it. And if I look at just one single procedure, it 100% with no close second is my veneers. Like, to me, that is like, that made a huge difference. And so that is one thing that changed my confidence a lot. And it's like, that to me was a big procedure. So it's not that I disliked any of the other things that I've done, but that to me is like, if I look at one, that would be it.
I think for you, like, and it wasn't something voluntary, it wasn't something that you did, but I think when you had to let your hair go natural because of shingles, like, it was something about that that just pulled your look together.
I love this.
This is like the prettiest gray hair.
It looks so intentional.
I mean, people ask all the time, like, what he does to it, like, if you know,
like, I stopped doing stuff to it.
Yeah.
But people don't think that.
Mm-mm. So I think that, and you got your grill.
My grill, that's what I love. So
now I'm going to have to get veneers because both of you have veneers.
We had somebody this past week that met us and they thought we were dentists.
Yeah.
Because they're like your teeth.
And then when Chris went to do the second part of the Blocks, the reality show we were on this time last year, someone thought that he was there for a teeth whitening program.
Yeah. All right. I think what would be really fun before we close this out is just to invite our listeners. Don't you think it would be fun that if they send us some of their glow up pictures, their kid pictures, and we'll do like another episode in a few months where we kind of maybe some of those we can pick out. If you guys share your pictures and your Instagram handles or stuff, maybe we'll have you call in and we'll talk about your experience because I think that'll be really fun. So send those in. Keep those photos coming. Thank you all for tuning in for another episode of Beauty and the Brain, listening to us talk about our glow-ups. We look forward to seeing you all next week.
We'll see you soon.
Bye.